Short schedule. The first item up is House Bill 2798. Mr. Administrator.
Thank you, sir. House Bill 2798 establishes a program in the Department of Veterans Affairs to provide payment for reasonable funeral expenses for eligible veterans, appropriates money from the general fund to the department for the program, declares an emergency effective July 1st, 2007.
We have a speaker's list. Mr. Brown, and then Oregon Greg Warnock. And this is Oregon Funeral Directors Association. If there's three people, if you all want to come up and. And just whatever order you want to start out and be fine.
Mr. Chair, members of the committee, my name is Greg Warnock. I'm the Executive Director of Oregon War Veterans Association, located here in Salem, Oregon, for the record. I just want to do a quick introduction since this is our first bill before this committee. Oregon War Veterans Association is the fastest growing war veterans association in Oregon. In the past 90 days, our membership grew by over 400 members. Because people want their voices to be heard, to make a difference in the lives of serving troops and veterans who have served before them. The Board of Directors and War Veteran members of OWVA seek solutions to problems that have not been addressed by either state or federal veteran service programs. The bills we will present this year will illuminate problems faced by vets but have not been solved by any form of legislation or community-based programs. Our bills are serious, and the problems they address weigh heavily on the hearts and minds of our membership. I'd like to introduce Robin Brown, who will talk about this particular bill. She is our legislative director, and for those of you who don't know, Robin is the first female pilot to be shot down in war and live in the United States history of military service. She is a recent Iraqi war vet, two Bronze Stars, numerous air medals, and served with great credibility, and we're glad to have her be a part of our association.
Chairman, my name is Robin Brown with Oregon War Veterans Association. It's a common misconception that veterans' burial costs are paid for by the federal government. In actuality, the federal government provides a burial plot in a national cemetery and a headstone. Body preparation, transportation, and other funeral-related costs are left to the family. And because of those costs, many veterans that live below the poverty level cannot afford to be buried and are therefore cremated and disposed of by their counties. The legislature has a chance this session to make right a problem that has faced veterans for decades. This bill will cost $150,000. That's less than a house in Oregon these days. And I think that's a small price to pay for our veterans. Attached to your letter is an amendment clarifying the eligibility requirements for this program. We want to make it clear that it's not for every veteran. It is focused on indigent and homeless vets. We've also adjusted the cost based on our latest numbers to $300,000 for the biennium. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you, Chair Barker, members of the committee. For the record, my name is Mark Steen. I'm the Executive Director of the Oregon Funeral Directors Association. The OFDA applauds the intent of House Bill 2798, which would assist a very worthy and honorable segment of Oregon's population. While eligible veterans are able to take advantage of the benefits of the national cemeteries in Oregon, oftentimes funeral expenses, including casket, transportation, professional services, are a hardship and sometimes out of reach for the deceased family. An allowance through this program could mean the difference between honoring the deceased veteran's wishes or a significant compromise. Passage of this legislation would provide a resource for families of deceased veterans that will allow for fitting tributes for their service and sacrifice. The state of Oregon would be committing resources to those who have committed so much to us. The Oregon Funeral Directors Association is both willing and able to work with the managing agency in developing policies to implement this program. I appreciate the opportunity to speak on behalf of House Bill 2798 and the potential benefits to our veterans, as well as the funeral homes in your communities. Thank you.
Thank you for your testimony and your assistance on this matter. Are there any questions from the representative county?
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Apparently, I'm confused. My father is a deceased veteran whose remains are at Willamette National, and there was a veteran's benefit available to us that covered the cost of that process. There's no current benefit beyond just the provision of a plot? I'm confused, I guess.
Mr. Chair, Representative Gowan, that's correct. It's the national policy is to the federal policy is to provide a headstone and a place for the internment, whether it's a crypt or in the ground burial. Social Security also offers $250 for a death, but that is it. There's nothing else, unless a vet dies by combat wounds. And I think there's a time period even of when that death occurs, the service is not paid for.
Follow-up?
Follow-up.
Perhaps it was in combination with the Social Security benefit. My father was cremated, and his remains are interred at Willamette National, and there was no cost to our family, so I'm confused.
Mr. Chair and Representative Callan, I think our friend from the Funeral Association can help answer what happens with indigent and impoverished vets that come to their facilities without funds.
Thank you, Representative Chair, Representative Callan. Many times funeral homes let me back up. In the past, there were benefits through the federal government, but a lot of those have gone away. Many times funeral homes will take on that burden themselves at no charge to families or that kind of thing.
One last question. Do you have any idea when that federal benefit changed?
Representative Chair, Representative Barker, I don't have off the top of my head. I'd be happy to research and get it to you.
That'd be helpful information. Thank you.
Okay.
Representative Scott. A couple questions. House Bill 2798, your proposed dash one amendments substantially change the bill. I'm curious on why you would so offer that.
Chair Barker, Vice Chair Scott, the changes were made based on current research that we've done, based on the updated census numbers and how many people will probably most likely end up using these services or these funds. It's a substantial change. It's half of what we thought it would be when we initiated the draft to LC. LC also forgot a couple of points in their draft that we weren't able to amend in time for this hearing. So we've made these adjustments here that are more accurately describe what the actual program will look like.
So, you know, as I read 2798, the eligibility, specifically on line 6, this program shall provide up to a maximum amount of $1,000 per eligible veteran for payment. And just assuming what eligible veteran means, it is substantially different in your proposed dash ones than what I would at least interpret what eligible veteran means.
Chair Barker, Vice Chair Scott, the intent of the bill in the beginning was always to provide a service to indigent or impoverished vets. It was never to be for all vets. That was an LC mistake. Our draft to LC included the word impoverished.
Follow up. So then I would assume all of the sponsors of the bill were knowledgeable that LC made an error and signed on to it knowingly that they had made an error?
Chair Barker and Representative Scott, the people that we knew signed on to the bill, we went to and discussed this with them, yes.
And we did have quite a few people, Representative Scott, specifically call and ask us what the eligibility requirements were before they signed on.
Thanks. Mr. Chair, I was pretty happy with 2798 as it stood. In my opinion, and I say this in fairness to the folks that are here testifying and to the background of this and how I interpret what the background based upon the preliminary staff measure summary, I would have to say that I am in favor of 2798, but I would not be in favor of diluting down the requirements that the dash one would force 2798 to occur. So with all due respect, I like 2798 the way it's written. Whether it be an LC error or whether it not be, it has gotten to this point. And in my opinion, again, referring to the background of the staff summary, the U.S. Department of Veterans Affairs provide burial allowances for eligible veterans in the event of a service-related death. The VA could pay up to $2,000 towards that, and so on and so forth. For non-service-related deaths, the VA could pay up to $300 toward burial, funeral expenses, and $300. The other objection that I have in this, and it's part of the follow-up on it, again, this one says expenses for eligible veterans. The Oregon Department of Veterans Affairs would require adopt rules to determine the eligibility of veterans. I would like to see 2798 stand as it is.
Thank you. Further questions? Anybody? Thank you.
Chair Barker and Vice Chair Scott, I would just comment that we like the way the bill was written also. However, there are a lot of priorities for veterans services this year, and we understand that there are financial stresses at the legislature this year. And so we were looking for an opportunity to pull the amounts down a little bit to actually meet what the real need would be. If there are additional funds available, obviously that could help ODVA set up a substantial program with staff, proper staffing, and also possibly provide a little additional funding for a casket burial. The $1,000 really only covers a cremation service and processing. Organizations like OWVA are willing to participate with Department of Veterans Affairs to provide additional funding if there were needs for if the $150,000 a year wasn't sufficient. We would like to provide additional funding to help in a casket burial, for example. So we're trying to solve a problem here. Any way we do that is fine with us. These are the numbers that are accurate based on what a cremation would be for a statewide general figure with 150 people that would possibly use this per year.
Yes. Well, thank you, Mr. Chair. I appreciate those remarks, but to me, a veteran is a veteran, and if we are trying to enhance or at least help veterans, then I think that we should take into consideration all veterans and all eligibilities that a veteran's namesake allows them to have. And when an organization brings forward amendments that dilutes that, I have to question that. And then the other remark that I would say is we're not out of money, and we don't have problems. We have a 20% increase in general fund revenues that gives us all kinds of money to allow for things like this to be done. We don't have to look at and say, geez, we need to reduce this because there's a shortage. There is no shortage. We have tons of money. It's flowing into this place. We have 20% increase in revenue projections. And we unfortunately have passed a few revenue generating bills that will even enlarge that. And we have a couple forecasts coming out. So you know, I don't think we're at a point of needing money. We have to find a place to spend the money. And a veteran is a good opportunity for us to do that.
Amen.
And we all stand up here and say how we support that and how we like the veterans and how we want to do that. And then we get amendments to dilute it down.
Well, in that case,
I just don't think we should do that.
Well, in that case, Chair and Vice Chair, we will blow up all of our bills in the future.
I'm sorry?
Well, in that case, we'll blow up all of our bills in the future.
Blow them up?
We'll balloon our all.
We'll
of
balloon
our
them up.
So.
I'm for that.
Mr. Chair.
Yes.
Gosh, I think the good representative can from, you know, Portland just keeps getting closer and closer to Canby. Anyway, I agree with my friend from Canby, and this has got as a referral to Ways and Means, and those folks are going to go through everything with a,
sure.
You know, a very fine tooth comb. My dad, who died last year, he always said he wanted a pine box and the military to pay for it. That's what he used to joke about that my whole life. And my mom called me over to her when I got back to Iowa the day I walked in the door almost. She said, "Mike, I spent $12,000, and it's probably the most money other than their house you'd ever spend her whole life." Mm-hmm. I know it's expensive, and I want to help these folks. But, Mr. Chair, I got no problem leaving it as it is when you do decide, if you decide to have a work session on this, and send it on to Ways and Means and see if this is something they want to spend that much money on. I won't get into the debate about where we're going to spend the money or how we can spend the money or where it could go and better serve the state, but I have no problem leaving it the way it is, and whenever you do move it out, Mr. Chair, it'll have my vote, too.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. And I'll say there's a federal legislation that's working towards some of the same thing, and we're kind of keeping an eye on that as well. Close the public hearing on 2798. Open the first public hearing on House Concurrent Resolution 5. Mr. Willis? General Caldwell, why don't you come up at the same time there? You would, please.
Mr. Chair, members of the committee, for the record, my name is Jim Willis. I'm director of the Oregon Department of Veterans Affairs. I'm here to testify in support of House Joint Resolution 5. I have passed out to the committee and staff a brochure published by the USS Ranger Museum Foundation that gives a pretty good history of what it is they're trying to accomplish. And if the Ranger were sighted in Portland, the benefits and advantages that it would bring to the city and, in fact, to the state of Oregon. Those are also very well articulated in the resolution itself. And so I certainly hope that the city of Portland and the Port of Portland will be able to work successfully with the USS Ranger Museum Foundation. The place that I would suggest that be studied, and I think this has been brought up by before.
Mr. Wilson, I think we're on the wrong.
Oh, we are? I thought you said HJR.
HCR.
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 Oh, HCR.
House Concurrent.
HJR 5 is in the Joint Emergency Preparedness and Ocean Policy Committee.
It's where?
In the Joint Emergency Preparedness and Ocean Policy Committee.
Oh, okay. Different committee.
Ooh.
Well, I feel a hell of a lot better.
I got the wrong one.
I feel bad, guys. Happened to me all the time.
Mr. Chair, for the record, Brigadier General Mike Caldwell, the Deputy Director of the Military Department. Like I said, I feel a lot better now because I thought, how am I going to wing this one? But I'll let Jim figure out how he's going to wing after I get done. But we are very much in support of House Concurrent Resolution Number 5. And you can go ahead and read it if you want.
I'd like to read it.
The resolution, I think, makes a statement, a public policy statement that's important, I think, for all the medical providers in Oregon to certainly thanking them, the ones that have been involved with the TRICARE program for insurance for all military service members. And I would tell you that there's another bill that you're going to probably see later on in this session that has and it has an incentive that's been crafted to try to get more medical providers to sign up. We have struggled mightily to get along with the TRICARE or the TriWest company who is administering TRICARE for Oregon, and they've been a great partner in trying to get other providers in to service our members. And I think if you and this body in 2005 also allowed for state employees who are mobilized to keep their current insurance because of some of the issues that we were experiencing back in 2004 with respect to families that had special needs that had certain care providers, and all of a sudden their loved one or their breadwinner or not got mobilized, and all of a sudden they had to change providers, and it created all kinds of difficulties. So I think the legislature is on record now for at least one session saying that they support the efforts that we've all been working toward in a collegial manner, particularly, like I said, TriWest, who has been just an excellent company to work with, having experience with their predecessor and having experience with this company. It's been a godsend to actually see some progress in this area. But we still do lack providers, and I think this sends a good public policy message to all the medical community that we encourage them to. We thank the ones that are there, and we encourage the ones that aren't there to sign up to offer this service to these service members' families. So I'll conclude with that and let my good colleague from ODVA, who's now had a chance to catch up, and we'll let him talk.
Thank you, General. Mr. Chair, members of the committee, I'd like to speak to HCR 5. I do note, though, that HJR 5 does have, as part of its proposal, a disaster relief station with two hospitals and a dental clinic.
And Mr. Chair,
we could encourage healthcare providers to.
If I may interrupt, we have three of the members of that committee in the room. We've heard HJR 5, so. Forgive me for interrupting.
Oh, okay. Thank you, Representative. In any event, I won't add anything more, Mr. Chair, to what the General said. This resolution is something that we definitely should do, and we strongly support it, especially in the rural areas of the state.
Thank you. Any questions? Representative McCallum.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I'm simply curious. I'm familiar with TRICARE sort of peripherally. Do you have difficulty? Two-part question. Do you have difficulty finding rural providers who are willing to accept the coverage? And secondly, and the second part of that question is that related to the payment?
Madam,
is it comparable to
Mr.
other
Chair,
insurance,
Representative Cowan, yes and yes. The costs are associated with the Medicare, Medicaid payments, and Mike Hanley's in the back of the room with TriWest, and he could probably give you chapter and verse on that. I'll give you an example, something I know you're familiar with is Union County. Initially, when we started out with TRICARE in Union County, when we mobilized the third of the 116th, which was 600 people from Northeast Oregon, basically, we had one care provider, a physician's assistant in Union, at the clinic in Union, which was incredibly difficult, and many of our people ended up actually going to Walla Walla and then even on to Boise to try to pick up care providers. Now, that's improved greatly, and it's improved in the sense that we've made outreaches, the company made outreaches, we work with them, and we've tried to have a collegial operation. But it is directly related to that, to something that nobody in our, we don't have the ability to fix. Congress has to fix it, to fix that payment.
Thank you. I guess I would simply add that maybe we should also have a joint resolution asking for reasonable federal payments for this particular insurance coverage.
Good idea.
Okay, thank you, gentlemen. And Mr. Hanley and Mr. Warnock. Okay. And Representative Nelson, would you like to maybe, excuse me, gentlemen, if I could have Representative Nelson. Thank you, Representative Nelson, for taking the time to come over
Sure.
today.
My honor. Chair Barker and distinguished members of this great committee, my most favorite committee in all of government. I'm honored to be here today, particularly to Along with TriWest, especially Scott Selly, the TriWest Vice President of External Affairs, commend all of our medical professionals in this state who have supported our program. And from day one, I have been on their case because, you know, I really feel bad when we have individuals in southern and eastern Oregon who have to drive 5 and 6 hours to the VA hospital to get help. And I've continuously sponsored the bill allowing veterans to access medical care anywhere, which, interesting enough, our hospital community will accept if, like Representative Cowan said, if the government will just, you know, cure the payment plan. So that definitely is needed. The leadership and employees of TriWest Healthcare Alliance support this resolution, and they have commended the Oregon healthcare providers who participate in this TRICARE program. As most of you know, TRICARE is the Department of Defense program which provides health care to the state's National Guard, reserves, and active duty service members, their families, as well as to retired military members and their families. This legislation is designed to increase the availability of high-quality, locally-based health care providers for the state's military family population. TriWest Healthcare Alliance is the Department of Defense contractor responsible for managing TRICARE in the West region of which Oregon is a part. The leadership of TriWest supports this legislation and applauds this initiative by the legislature to recognize the important contributions of the state's medical community. The resolution is evidence that Oregon not only honors the sacrifices of its past and present military families, but is committed to finding ways to provide them with additional support and services they have earned. Increasing the TRICARE provider base in Oregon is an essential step toward ensuring that these individuals receive the care they deserve. TriWest is tremendously appreciative of the efforts of more than 7,500 Oregon providers currently participating in the TRICARE network and is committed to continuing to support these providers while encouraging increased participation as an organization and as a supporter of this resolution. The TRICARE program is a federal program which brings some of the challenges for providers with which this committee is well familiar. Accordingly, the legislature's commendation of these providers and the encouragement of others to join the program is a vital step in communicating how important it is that our service members and their families receive the best health care the state medical community has to offer. Earlier this year, Governor Kulongoski, along with other governors in the western United States, joined together in efforts to encourage provider participation in the TRICARE program. This was a vital first step. This committee and the legislature have the opportunity to take these efforts to the next level with House Concurrent Resolution 5, and in doing so, become one of the first states in the country to take action at the legislative level to commend the providers who are delivering health care through the TRICARE program. So I thank you very much for your consideration. Certainly will appreciate the passage of this HCR 5.
Thank you, Representative. Are there any questions? And I was going to just have a hearing on this, but I'm going to have a work session. And
oh, great.
If it passes out, would you carry this bill on the floor for us?
Well, I would love to.
Okay, thank you. Presuming we get it passed. Okay, now Mr. Warnock and Mr. Hanley. We're kind of over schedule already.
Chair Barker and members of the committee, I'll make this very brief. We are completely in support of this particular legislation.
And if you just would say your name for the record, please.
Greg Warnock, Oregon War Veterans Association,
Thank
Salem.
Thank you.
Good afternoon. My name's Mike Hanley, and I'm with TriWest Healthcare Alliance. And as mentioned before, we're the contractor under the Department of Defense and covering the western 22 states providing TRICARE benefits. And within those 22 states, there are 15 service areas, and each service area has a director. And so I'm the service area director for all of Oregon, all of Washington outside of the Puget Sound, and Northern Idaho. And I believe you have a letter from Scott Seeley, our Vice President of External Affairs, and would encourage your support. One of the things I just would mention, I know that you want to move on quickly, where Oregon's program is a little bit more unique than other states, is Oregon is only one of four states in the country that does not have a military treatment facility. So our program is completely dependent on a civilian provider network, and so that's why this is even more apparent for us to be able to provide that type of care. The more providers that we have, the more services we can offer, especially into the more remote areas, the better for the service members and family members. So appreciate your support.
Thank you. Any questions from the committee? Thank you.
Chair Barker, yes. Just one more thing. We do have a bill that, since you're having a work session, we have a bill coming your way, 3197, that will address some of the concerns about TriWest and payments and the recruiting of doctors. So you'll get additional information through this session on those problems. Thank you.
Okay, thank you. We'll do this real quick. I'll close the public hearing on House Concurrent Resolution 5. Open a work session.
Mr. Chair, I move HCR 5 to the floor with a due pass recommendation.
To adopt, please.
To adopt recommendation.
Thank you. Representative Schaffer moves HCR 5 to the floor with a due adopt recommendation. Are there any questions? Any discussion? If not, could you call the roll, please?
Representative Cowan?
Yes.
Vice Chair Schaffer?
Aye.
Vice Chair Scott?
Aye.
Chair Barker?
Aye.
Motion passed, and thank you, Representative Nelson, for carrying that. And I'll briefly reopen the hearing on House Bill 2798, and Representative Nelson.
Chair Barker, I just want to second Director Willis's motion. I like that USS Ranger, and I think it would do us a lot of good here, too. Chair Barker and members of the House Committee on Veterans Affairs, and I thank you once again for your consideration of some of these bills of mine and individuals I represent. Today it's House Bill 2798, which is an important bill for our veterans who have sacrificed so much for our country. It isn't just sad, it's a disgrace that even a single veteran who passes away won't receive a proper and lasting funeral. But it isn't just a single veteran. According to the Oregon War Veterans Association, there are approximately 27,000 impoverished veterans in Oregon. The majority of these brave souls are Vietnam-era veterans who are now in their 60s. It's estimated that between 600 and 700 impoverished Oregon veterans will die each year. What will happen to them when they die, and alone and without money or insurance, is a question we need to answer. Yes, there are programs in place to deal with the funerals of the indigent, but we need to think about the word deal. A deceased indigent doesn't receive a lasting memorial, but is conveniently disposed and forgotten. It's bad enough this happens to any person. It's unforgivable to think this happens to decorated veterans after the most grueling service and personal sacrifice. House Bill 2798 will provide an appropriate sum to help pay for a proper funeral service worthy of the memory of our fallen heroes. A $1,000 sum in addition to existing indigent funeral benefits can make a huge difference. What difference can $1,000 make? It could be the difference that allows the fallen veteran to be transported to a national cemetery and buried with a lasting headstone rather than being cremated by the country and forgotten. As members of a free and civilized society, we owe our veterans everything. We must honor them in life and remember them in death. Chair Barker, members of the House Committee on Veteran Affairs, I urge you to support House Bill 2798 and move it forward for consideration to the full House of Representatives. Thank you.
Yeah. Thank you. Thank you, Representative Nelson. And we had a hearing on this, the first hearing. And just another thing I would inform, if people don't know it already, my father-in-law was a veteran, and he was cremated but wanted to be placed in the ocean, so the remains in the ocean. So we did that, and then the Veterans Administration made a headstone for he and my mother-in-law, and they call Memorial Gardens up at Willamette National, where they're a little bit smaller than a standard headstone, of course, placed closer together because there's nothing buried underneath them. So that's a lasting memorial as well to people that aren't actually physically buried there.
Mr. Chair?
Yes.
I just wanted to let the good representative, I said it earlier, and I think we have strong support on the other side of the chair, to pass this bill as it is, out without an amendment. But more importantly, Willamette National Cemetery is a stone throw from my house and in my district, and I drive by it just about every day. So, and I'm awfully proud of that. So thank you for bringing this forward to us. Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Thank you. And I'm going to, because we've run over schedule, I'm going to close today's session, and we'll rehear House Joint Memorial 10. It was Representative Boquist's bill, and we'll wait till he gets back. No further business before the committee. Committee adjourned. Thank you, members, for your attendance on short notice today.